For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Glory to God. It's wonderful to have you here tonight. It's wonderful to come around the Word of God and the presence of the Spirit of God. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we commit this time to you and we praise you and thank you for your provision. We thank you for the provision of the truth in our lives that is foundational to our beliefs, foundational to our Christian walk. And Lord, I pray that every person who hears this, that you speak to them and that there be a response of faith in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Tonight we're looking at the Spirit of Truth backs the truth. The Spirit of Truth backs the truth. So let's have a look at a scripture straight off in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 10. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 10. So the Spirit of Truth backs the truth. The Bible talks about in 1 John, and we won't turn to it, but that there is a working of the truth known as the Spirit of Truth and a working of error known as the Spirit of Error. And we need to be able to differentiate between those two. It's very important that we understand that there are those two areas spiritually that are working on the earth. And if we look here in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 10, we see there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Notice that it says none of them is without signification. So that means that there is meaning behind all those voices that are in the world. Some of them are good voices that reflect God's will and God's word, but there are many of them that are erroneous, evil type of voices that are trying to get you off the off the track and take you along ways of destruction. I remember a few years ago I visited a lady who was in a nursing home for at least 2 years. I would go there fairly regularly and speak to her the Word of God and pray with her. And I would encourage her, look, we can get you to come along to church. We can provide for that. And she would say, oh no, I can't come along to church because people wear deodorant at church and I would just not be able to function. So I discovered in my visitation with her that she had listened years ago to a particular voice that said, and this is where a lot of her trouble started physically. She listened to a particular voice many years ago that said, you have a susceptibility to deodorants and you cannot be around that. And of course, whereas it started as a small thing, it became a gigantic thing, and what came out of her mouth on a constant basis was, I cannot be around deodorants. Now this is a Christian woman, a woman who was claiming to be a Christian, and I quoted to her, I said the scripture, I said, what about the scripture that says I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me? And it was like it just bounced off, as though she hadn't even heard it, and just bounced off because she had got wedged into her thinking this word that she had heard many years ago, and she believed that word rather than the truth. That was a voice that deliberately the devil had planted in her life. Another man rang me up after having promised to come to church and said, well, I can't come to church because the devil has told me not to come to church. I said, well, when do you listen to the devil? But then, you know, there's many people who are listening to the devil, and of course the devil doesn't want you to come to church, doesn't want people to be Christians, and so on. You know, we could go on and on. Now, we must be people, particularly those who are people who've been in the faith for quite some time and know a little bit about faith, know a little bit about walking by faith and operating by faith, particularly if you've been exposed to faith preaching and so on, you must be very wary that you don't base your actions on words that are contrary to the Word of God, or words of fear or doubt or things like that. This is very, very important. So in line with what we're speaking on tonight, have also listened to biblical answers about the Holy Ghost, because we're talking about the Spirit of truth. That's the Holy Ghost, backs the truth. So the Spirit of truth is not going to be backing lies or error. In fact, by believing those type of voices, those type of words, you can invite the wrong type of things into your life. And I've just given you a couple of examples. There's many other examples I could give. Have a look at John 16, verses 13 and 14. And we see one of the functions of the Holy Ghost in this passage in John 16, verses 13 and 14. So the Holy Ghost came, he was sent by the Father, and he came to the earth on the day of Pentecost in great power, and he is present today. He is present today, indwelling his people, and is doing a work in the earth today. So we have to be aware of what he's doing and how he's doing it. And it's very, very important for us to see that he has to have something to work with. And he doesn't work with lies. He doesn't work with error. He doesn't work with unbelief. He doesn't work with things like that. He works with the truth. He works with the truth. And in John 16, verses 13 and 14, this is what we read. It says, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you." This function of the Holy Ghost here, the Spirit of truth, is where he is revealing things. He is guiding us into all truth, not error. He's guiding us into all truth. So we need to be open to the Spirit of God. We need to be open to the Spirit of God. The Reformation opened much of the church to the Word of God. And we see the Pentecostal revival of the early 1900s onwards opened the church to the guidance and power of the Holy Ghost. So we see that now we are coming to a time where those two things, the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, and the Word of God, must work together amongst the people of God to bring about a powerful witness on the earth today. So we see here what the Spirit of truth is doing. He's guiding you into all truth. It's a good thing to say. It's a good thing to say, the Spirit of truth is guiding me into all truth. And notice, it says, he will show you things to come. He will show you things to come. It's a good thing to say, the Spirit of truth is showing me things to come. So there's a revelation, revealing happening there. He shall glorify me. So you'll find that Jesus will be glorified in your life. And it says, he shall show it unto you. For he shall receive it of mine, and he shall show it unto you. So the Holy Ghost is showing you things. Showing you the things of God, showing you the knowledge of God, the truth of God. He's bringing out things to you. He's guiding you into all truth. Are you willing to be led? Are you willing to be open to the Spirit of God? Look at Romans 8, verse 16. Just read the first part of verse 16. Romans 8, 16a. And we see here something that's very, very important that is completely neglected by those who have followed the modernist way of, we can't refer to the Spirit of God in this way. And by doing that, they have opened themselves up to error and we'll see what I mean here. Romans 8 verse 16a, and it says here, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. Now, we know the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Truth, is a person, the third person of the Godhead, of the Trinity. So we know very clearly that the Spirit is a person. Here we see a particular manifestation of the Spirit, and we'll see what that is in just a minute. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. So our born-again spirit has a witness that's being born to it, being brought to it, being shown to our born-again spirit. And we need to know what that is. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. It is wrong to say the Spirit himself there, and we'll see why when we turn to 1 John 5 verse 6. So go to 1 John 5 verse 6 and you can see what that witness is in 1 John 5 verse 6. And this is very, very clear. So very clear, because it shows why it says Spirit itself in Romans 8. It's showing a function of the Holy Ghost, the function of the Spirit of God, that is so very, very important to our having spiritual knowledge. And we see here in 1 John 5 verse 6, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. The Spirit is truth. So in his manifestation as truth, he bears witness with us. It is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Is truth. And this is very, very important, that there is nothing of error in the Holy Ghost, nothing of error in the Spirit. And when he's bearing witness to our spirit, he is bringing us to a complete realization of where we need to be at, what we need to be building, so that we can do the will of God. And in fact, the church being able to, as a whole, do the will of God, because it's coming in line with what the Spirit is bearing witness, and that is because the Spirit is truth and guides us into all truth. Praise the Lord. If you have a look at Hebrews 10:15-17, we see how the Spirit is bearing that witness. In Hebrews 10, verses 15 to 17. It says, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, and I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. So we see the connection between the Holy Ghost being a witness and the Word of God. It says here, he's a witness to us. The Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said. It says he had said. So who's behind the Word of God? It's the Holy Ghost, isn't it? It says he had said. And this is what he'd said. This is the covenant that I will make with them. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts. Well, that's your spirit, man. Into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. So there is a writing process happening in your mind, in your soul, of God's words. So here we see that there is a covenant that we have with God, and the Holy Ghost is working with the Word of God. It says here that he witnesses to us through the Word, and he has put this covenant, so that in our hearts we get the law of God, and in our minds we've got the writing of God's word as well. Now John 17:17, let's look at that. John 17:17. is one we know well. And in this, the scripture, it tells us about truth, and this is what the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Truth, is guiding us into in John 17:17, because this work that he's doing is so that when we walk on this earth, we're able to walk in a way that is going to be effective. See, if you are like that lady that I mentioned before, and you believe a particular word, that seed that was planted, that seed can grow and can make you completely ineffectual as a witness for Christ, which she was. You know, now, that's just one example. There are many examples just like that, even to the extent that some people go completely away from Christ, completely away from the Word of God. But looking at John 17, verse 17, this is a crucial scripture that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke, and he says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Sanctify is a setting apart from the world, setting apart unto God. "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Well, it's not hard to see that if the Spirit of Truth is guiding you into all truth, then there's that connection between the Spirit and the Word of God. And what is God wanting us to do? To build our house, our life, what we do, on the words of God. We know the parable of the house being built on the sand, or the house being built on the rock. Well, the rock is the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, the words of God. So we see that God's word is truth, a firm foundation, and the Holy Ghost, as the Spirit of Truth, is witnessing to that. So if you go forth into the world, as I said before, we are in the world, we're not of the world, but you go forth into the world, and as I said before, there's many voices which have signification. They have meaning. So little meanings are being planted all over the place in people. And, you know, there can be voices of fear, voices of doubt, voices of chaos and so on that can be fed into people, which are deliberately designed because, as it says, none of them is without signification. So all of them have meaning attached to them. They're containers. These voices have words, containers of meaning, which are seeds. Now the Word of God is a seed too. And the Holy Ghost is working with that seed, and he wants to get that planted in people. I notice that you are here tonight. What are you doing? You're listening to the Word of God being preached and taught. So that's good seed, and if you mix that with faith, then you can go out of here with just that much more understanding and spiritual knowledge and growth, and go forward in the Lord. So we understand that the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Truth, is working, is witnessing to that truth, and is wanting to bring about in people's lives this foundation where they can walk through the valley of the shadow of death, so to speak, and fear no evil. And we're walking through this world as strangers and pilgrims, and we should be able to walk through it with the armour of God on, holding up the shield of faith, and when the devil fires the fiery darts of the wicked, that shield of faith will quench it. Why? Because we're prepared. We've been prepared in our hearts. We've got the helmet of salvation. We know who we are in Christ. And so we're going forward in truth and in strength. Praise the Lord. If you look at 2 Peter 1 verse 21, we see once again an indication of what the Holy Ghost has been doing with respect to the Word of God. He's been working throughout history with prophets and with men of God to get the Word of God into our hands today. And so the Word of God has been placed in our hands. Not so we can say, oh, that's a nice that's a nice book, or it's a nice thing to have on your mantelpiece, but so that we can deliberately plant it as a seed into our hearts and minds. And the Bible talks about meditating on His law day and night, meditating on the Word of God, and getting it into your heart, speaking it, getting into your heart, believing it, and speaking it, and not neglecting it. Praise the Lord. So 1 Peter 1, verse 21, it says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." So we see that the prophets and the holy men of God were moved by the Holy Ghost, and the Word of God was able to be brought onto the earth, put into the earth, so that it could function as that seed which won't return to God void. Praise the Lord. It's going to be fruitful, and it is fruitful. But where does it have to be planted? It's going to be planted in the heart of man, heart of men and women. That's where the seed of the Word of God will grow. And so you're here tonight. You're open to that. You mix the hearing with faith. You see that the Holy Ghost is the witness and should be witnessing to you. Well, this is a word for now. The Holy Ghost wants to speak to people, and He's speaking to people right across the earth now. But some, the Bible tells us, for example, at the end of the book of Acts, that some people's hearts are waxed gross. It says they will not hear. They will not see. You know? Because their hearts have all gross, dirty and things that are clogged up. They're not able to hear. But we must expose ourselves to the washing of the water of the Word of God, as Ephesians 5 tells us. So we see here that men, holy men of God, were moved by the Holy Ghost. They put the Scriptures into words, and we have it today. We have it today through what the Spirit of God has been doing. So it makes sense. It makes sense that we should, when we come to the Word, ask the Lord to reveal it by His Spirit to us. So we're not just reading any old book, but we're reading a book which we know the Lord has put into our hands. The Lord has put every word perfectly for us, and so that the church may function as one man in the earth. That's God's will. Praise the Lord. So the body of Christ is able to do what God wants it to do. If we look at Proverbs 14, verse 5, one of the big things, and I've talked a little bit about it, is that there's not just the Word of God in the earth, there's also other words in the earth today. So there are people that are believing these other words, but we also must believe that these other words are not going to prosper in terms of they're not going to stop us from prospering if we choose to go forward in the Word of God. Look at Proverbs 14, verse 5. Proverbs 14, verse 5. Now God always causes us to triumph in Christ. We must believe that. We must say, well, I choose to base my life on the truth and trust in the truth, not trust in a lie. You know, the devil's very subtle. He can get people to come along to you and say, "Oh, you know, this would be good for you to do," and if you're not wary, you can be doing things which are off the track, so to speak, and that can lead you subtly into a destructive path. So there are people, there are false prophets on the earth today as well, and we'll see an example in a minute of a clash between the true prophet of God and the false prophet of God. But let's have a look at Proverbs 14, verse 5. First of all, it says, "A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies." So we have on the earth today the faithful witness. It's the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. And He will not lie. So there's absolutely no possibility that the Holy Ghost is behind, for example, the modern version phenomenon or the hermeneutics phenomenon. There's no possibility that the Holy Ghost is behind that. But the Holy Ghost is completely behind the truth. He's completely behind there is one Bible to believe. A false witness will not lie. The Holy Ghost cannot back a false witness. The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, backs the truth. All right. Look also at Proverbs 21 verse 28. It says, a false witness shall perish, but the man that heareth speaketh constantly. So a false witness shall perish. If you make a determination in your heart, I am going to make decisions on the basis of the truth, I am guided into all truth by the Spirit of God, I'm led into all truth, and I'm taught the things of God by what the Spirit of God is leading me into and showing me. You make that determination, then any false witness that's been in your life will perish. It will perish. That's a spiritual law. You can say, false witness, perish in the name of Jesus. All those false seeds that might have been sown into your soul or things like that, you can claim healing for that. You can come against that and say, well, I'm not going to suffer it anymore through what that false witness said. That false witness will perish and go out of my life. Praise the Lord. Because I'm now listening to the true witness, the proper witness. Have a look also at Proverbs 25 verse 18. A man that beareth false witness against his neighbour is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. Well, that brings to mind the fiery darts of the wicked, doesn't it? There's arrows coming in. See, these false things, these false words, they cause injuries. They cause destruction. And you can see what it's saying there. It's a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. So all of those are implements of destruction that a man that's bearing false witness, not just a man, but it's anything that's bearing false witness coming in can destroy. And what we need to do is we need to say, well, I'm not going to receive false witness. I'm not going to receive lies. In fact, the church as a whole globally needs to say, well, we're no longer going to receive lies in our midst. No longer are we going to receive lies in our midst. We're going to believe that scripture that says that the Spirit of truth guides us into all truth. Praise God. Let's have a look at Jeremiah chapter 28. And we'll finish with this section of scripture. Jeremiah 28. Now, this is an interesting section of scripture because it shows that God will not put up with, and it hearkens to the future of the church, God will not put up with lies to be spoken in the midst of his church. There is a time, obviously, and we're experiencing it now, where many lies are being spoken into various sections of the body of Christ, and has in fact we call it the spirit of error, has in fact made great inroads in many ways. However, God won't be putting up with that, because a false witness shall perish. And we'll read first of all verses 15 to 17. Jeremiah the prophet had in line with other prophets had prophesied that Israel and other nations were going to be serving the king of Babylon. But Hananiah, the prophet Hananiah, a false prophet, spoke what you might call a nice word, a gentle word, an encouraging word, But it was in complete contradiction to the truth, because the truth is not always a gentle, nice type of word. The truth is the truth. I mean, it's complete truth that the whole world lieth in wickedness. Now, a lot of people don't want to believe that. They want to believe that you know there's goodness in every man. But the Bible talks about that the heart of man is desperately wicked. So, without Christ, mankind is in complete darkness and needs the light of God's word, the glorious gospel, to come in to show them the need for the Saviour, to show them how they have violated the law of God and need to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and believe the gospel. Because without that, there is no hope. So there's lots of people who are feeding, you know, the world feeds lies into people's lives to get them to trust in the wrong things. And so this is a particular example of how people trusted in the wrong things. If you look, before we read verses 15 to 17, if you look back just a little bit back to, we'll start with verse 5. Then the prophet Jeremiah said unto the prophet Hananiah, in the presence of the priests, in the presence of all the people that stood in the house of the Lord, even the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen, the Lord do so, the Lord perform thy words which thou hast prophesied, to bring again the vessels of the Lord's house and all that is carried away captive from Babylon into this place. Nevertheless, hear thou now this word that I speak in thine ears and in the ears of all the people. The prophets that have been before me and before thee of old prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms, of war and of evil and of pestilence. The prophet which prophesieth of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him. We can go across over to verses 15 to 17. Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie. Therefore thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month. You would do well to read chapters 27 and 28 of Jeremiah. It's a wonderful section showing the clash of the prophets there. But what we see here is that it is a very serious matter, and God is addressing this in the church globally now. It's a very serious matter when people are made to trust in a lie, or when people have been taught rebellion against the Lord. It's a very, very serious matter. And you can see the judgment from the time that was pronounced. 2 months later, Hananiah was dead. So we see that God, the Spirit of Truth, backs the truth, and is very much against the false witness, very much against lies. And there's going to be a great clean-up of the body of Christ to get lies out of the body of Christ, so that the Spirit and the Word work together. And that's very, very important for us to understand, that Christ is not returning back for a compromised church. He's not coming back for a compromised church, but for a glorious church, a clean church, without spot and wrinkle. It's been washed by the water of the Word. So Christ is coming for a Word-washed church. That's a key thing to understand, because the Spirit of Truth is guiding the people of God into all truth. There has to be that working together, and He is backing the truth even now. Praise God. So let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You. We thank You, Lord, for the Spirit witnessing or bearing witness to our spirit. And Lord, I pray that we all be open to that constantly, that we not be people that trust in a lie or believe things that are in rebellion to the Lord, but that we believe you, Lord. Even if it's a hard word, we believe you. And Lord, I pray that you confirm to us, even tonight, that your way is that wonderful way to walk in. Your way is that wonderful way of peace and truth and love and strength. Lord, help every person here to walk in the truth. We do so by faith. To walk in the Spirit, we do so by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God.